welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with two real leaders who I am so grateful to know. They are new friends of mine. We have Nikolai and Alex of Olay. I love the unison wave. So folks, I'll give you a little bit of context. As I think probably most people know who tune in, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. And one day I got this message from this person I didn't know, Nikolai, and he was telling me about his company that has social journaling and started telling me about some of the consulting work. And I was like, just so interested. I'd never heard of this. So I was totally rabbit holing and I just have been in awe of what they're doing. And so I am, again, so grateful to have them here today. And I'm going to turn it over and would love for the two of you, Alex and Nikolai, your partners in the business, would love for you to share a little bit about yourself and what you're doing with your business.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having us. I know we've had lots of offline conversations or not recorded, and I've always left feeling energized, and I've always appreciated. For me, that's like a good indicator that I'm talking to the right people. So thank you for that. But yeah, we are Olay. We came together almost 3 years ago now, with the whole purpose to change the world of work. Mm-hmm. I think like when we got together, we were like, work sucks. Like, I think that was like the premise of us coming together. And, you know, as we began to doing, you know, from our experience thinking of like either work sucked because of the people we were working with. Like, we really loved the company or the mission, but the people we were working with didn't work so well. Or we loved the people we were working with. It was amazing, but what we were doing didn't align. And so for us, that was kind of like the heart of starting into this. And so we consider ourselves a culture design company. And so we design experiences for personal development, for team development, and try to not make work suck. Like, how can we connect with ourselves, with one another, with the work that we're doing, and build more meaningful connections? And at the core, that requires us to be a little bit more self-aware. It requires mm-hmm. us to check in with ourselves and check in with our worldview and the way that we're showing up. And so I know I glossed over a whole bunch of things, but that's just kind of like the premise. I'll hand it off to Alex to share details that I've missed, but that's kind of how I think about what we do.
Yeah, I think in life, there are some moments, very few in my experience, but some moments when it just seems like a bunch of different things align. And I think that when we came together and started this company, we were both sunsetting our current careers that we were having and our own respective startups that we were a part of. And we're just feeling so defeated in some ways because we were encouraged by the work, but we were so discouraged by certain elements. And a lot of these things, because there's so many different sides to that story, we can never get the full answer of like, why was it so tough? So the only thing that we could really answer for ourselves is what was tough for us. But more than that, what like on the opposite side is what would we want? Like, what does the ideal workplace look like for us? What does it mean for us to like be able to come shine our full value? And so we just started journaling together because we were talking and talking and talking, and we were like, yeah, but you already said that. Like, and I'm not getting it. Could you say it in a different way? And we suddenly realized that by writing it down, different parts of that same story were coming up, and it was just like so valuable. So we started asking ourselves questions of like, what do you want? What do you need? What should our company name be? Like, what colors do you like? Like, just anything and everything, like all the big and small questions you would ask in starting a business, but also in developing that partnership, that relationship, to be co-founders together. Because one of the big things that we've both seen in our past professions is when teams, especially founding teams, they have huge blow-ups and then they break up. And sometimes it can be like the most disastrous, dramatic kind of breakups that you'll have in your life. And we didn't want that. And so asking these questions, carving out that time for personal reflection, and that even juicier time to like come back together where we're excited to share what came up was just so fun. And I think it helped lay a foundation of such trust for both of us. And yeah, so now we're building this company, just really leaning into what does it mean to trust each other, but also what does it mean to trust ourselves and trust the relationship that we have with our work?
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it so much in general, but also I just say in general for the space that I think that we're all navigating is so difficult in work and work cultures and, you know, with so much noise in this world today. And so I think there's never been a greater need for resources, for tools, for ways to make things better. And to help people move forward. And so that's part of why I'm so taken by what you're doing. And we were talking about this before we started recording, is because it's literally providing people tools for how to not just survive in your job, you know, but and in a company, but really be able to thrive. And, you know, for our platform, SLG Impact, as you both know, it really is about making positive impact. It very much is about a commitment to impact and evolution. And, you know, I think that for all of us to be evolving, we need these type of things to be able to evolve ourselves and where we're working, the companies, you know, and so many people who are tuned into this are leaders at various stages of their careers. So, you know, it was just really important for me to want to have you both on, especially during May, with Mental Health Month, as we were talking about earlier. I think sometimes people struggle and they just, well, what do I do? How do I, for myself, for my staff, for the company? So again, if people, those of you who are listening, that's really a lot of the why behind this, is because I'm like honored to be able to have Alex and Nikolai on today to be talking about this and help everybody know that there are more resources out there. And here's a tool that you all are going to learn about today. And so I'm actually going to, this is a very different episode than usual. So for this episode, I'm actually turning the mic, if you want to call it, over. And so they're going to lead us through a social journaling exercise. So I'm excited. I was a part of a session that they did yesterday, which was really cool. And it was fun to watch people say like, oh, I didn't realize, or that helped me to see something different. So I'm your guinea pig today. So I'm excited.
To start us off, Shauna, is there anything, it can be a word, it could be a challenge, it could be a goal, but has anything just been coming up for you?
Well, I mean, you hit it yesterday in the session that we did, which was very much about releasing, because I think that, you know, what I talked about was, you know, at times I feel like I actually have held myself back. When I started this podcast, it was a content series. I wasn't even the host because I wasn't trying to make it about me, but sometimes you have to like more stepping fully into who I am and what I'm working to do and what my purpose is. And so I think, you know, I have a very tangible platform here in which I'm doing it, but I think sometimes I get like insecure about coming to the forefront, or so I feel like I just, that's been very much on repeat for me, is where am I holding myself back? So that was ironic, but very helpful yesterday.
I mean, let's journal about that.
Okay.
Like yeah. We, each of us just made up of so many different things, right? We all have a combination of different identities and different roles and responsibilities. And so let's journal, like, are there certain identities, roles, or facets or qualities about us that are in competition with other parts of us that are then holding us back?
I like that. Okay.
Got it. So then what I'll do is I'll put about 4 to 5 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
That is our prompt. And so we'll each have the opportunity to, you know, spend some time with our notebook, our journal, and then I'll see you in 5 minutes. So then we can chat.
Okay. Awesome.
Happy reflecting. Now this is a space for us to share in no particular order, as much or as little as came up for us with each other. So whoever would like to go first, you can unmute and take the stage.
I will go first, if that's okay. No, it's really interesting. I don't think I've ever thought about so many ways that I feel that there's a dichotomy in my existence. And so I didn't really realize I was going to go there, but it just kept kind as I kept writing, it was like all these little pockets of my existence, my life. I was like, wow, it really is this duality. So, you know, and I'll share some. I was saying, like, I want to, as far as like a career and my job, I want to be part of something bigger and more connected. And as I've said earlier, I'm currently the chief client officer at an agency called CMD, but I also, the other side of me is I want to do my own thing. I'm a bit of a maverick. And so hence I have this platform. I think at times I have complete imposter syndrome, and at the same time, I do feel confident and proud in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, there's part of me that wants to be part of this like thriving, wonderful business that is a well-oiled machine. And at the same time, I want to start something new and I want to like revitalize something. And I think even in my identity, I'm feminine, yet I'm masculine in ways. And so I have that dichotomy of like, you know, today I'm wearing like a mountain bike button down flannel shirt and one earring, you know, so I just have my, you know, that's just my style. So it just was a really interesting exercise. I've never really looked at it in totality like that. And again, I have many other things that I wrote down. But it was, I think I'm pretty self-aware, but I've noticed these things, but haven't looked at them at once like this.
Thank you for sharing that. There's so many parallels. I'm like shocked, but also not shocked because we do this all the time. thank you for sharing. Like the part that really stands out to me that I relate with is that I feel a duality as well. And like, I have this obsession with like picking one. Like if I'm grieving, I need to grieve. Like that was one of my dualities that I wrote. Like there's no space to have joy or moments of joy. And if I have moments of joy, I feel guilty because I'm in a grieving period right now because I'm processing loss in all these different ways. And there's this like need to be like, I am this one thing. Let me be this thing. And it just takes away from the experience for me of what I'm going through. Another one that I wrote down for me is like time is one of the dualities that I'm experiencing, is the tension of like being present and honoring like this moment being the most valuable thing. And also like the tension of like future and like working towards something and building something and like being excited about that, and how like I want to be like sometimes so focused on that it steals from this moment. It's like, can I just breathe space into like both are okay? Like I can have both, and like that can be part of my identity. Like I can breathe into that duality. So I just appreciated you sharing that, because that's so funny. Like that duality is like what I journaled about, and like the different ways that where I'm feeling that most, where I'm feeling that tension that I have to decide. Mm-hmm. And it's completely, for me at least, it's completely self-prescribed. Like no one's telling me like you have to decide to be sad and grieve, or you can be joyful. Like it's all self-image. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
For me, sometimes I will say things and then I forget what I said. And so the prompt that I ended up writing down for myself is, where am I having this internal war, and where am I competing with myself? Like, I feel like sometimes I can be the most competitive with myself. Like one part is like, just, you know, wanting to fight another part and be like, I'm going to best you, I'm going to beat you. And so the thing that came up for me largely was just circled around this word of trust. Mm-hmm. And I think it's trusting parts of myself that are unexplainable. Like mm-hmm. they just exist within me. And I have such a strong sense of knowing and belief mm-hmm. that I hold this. And it could be about an ability that I have, a belief that I have, even like the hope or optimism that I have around something. Like it's hard for me to put into words. Like, I just don't have the language that I can communicate it verbally with someone else. And I think over time, because I am asked to find a way to communicate it, or if I cannot verbalize it and have a reason for it, then it is not logical and therefore less valuable.
Mm.
And so I just realized, like, that is one of those internal wars of like trusting that innate, natural, just power that I have, the power that I just don't have the words for, power that I don't even have the reason or logic for, and like trusting that. And I think the thing that it's at war with is the part of me that has internalized a lot from the outside world, like things that people say that I should be doing, that I should be feeling, that I should be thinking about. And those have just interweaved themselves with parts of me.
Yeah.
And I think for a while that those parts were like winning the war per se. Mm-hmm. And they were like chipping away at this like trust of what was like natural about my being. And so one of the things that I just like kind of concluded with is when other people talk, like listen to their voice and not necessarily what may be shaped into as criticism or as judgment or as advice or as telling me to do something, but rather like hear them and listen and see that this is just a facet of their story. They're telling me about themselves and their experience. It's just done in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so also the other piece of like, this is a piece of them that they're gifting to me, but I have to dispel the notion that I have to take all gifts home. Some gifts I can just enjoy for that moment and be like, thank you, but I'm just going to leave this here and go on home. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It reminds me of, I have a coach that I work with who is a dear friend, Leslie Harris. And he talks about just your element about trusting yourself. He talks about trust that what's got you here will get you forward. And I think sometimes no matter what we've been through, personal, professional, those types of things, it all kind of walks with us along the way. And we can forget exactly what you said, like that power that you have inside yourself, that whatever those things are, again, I'm like you, like searching for the right words to use, and I don't know what else to use, but those things got you to where you are, and they will get you forward through all the other things. And I think sometimes like I remember that to, you know, just to remind myself that, again, that trust, I can trust myself, but it's not easy to do.
Absolutely not. And I mean, I also just like want to acknowledge too, some things that might've gotten you here won't get you any farther because they weren't ever yours to have. And so it makes me think like, Nikolai, what you've been talking a lot about lately is like the feeling of lightness. And to like travel lightly. Do you want to share more about that?
Happy to. Yeah, you know, I actually heard that, just to go back a moment, like the thing that got me here, like might be actually the anchor to the next season, depending on what it is. And also sometimes I need to go back to the universal truths for myself that did get me there. So I love, even in that there's duality, and I love that so much. It's like, hey, which do I choose? What's the right one? And it's like, both can exist, Nikolai, like, it's okay. Like there's an element of truth in both. But for me, Alex, to your point about like lightness is, you know, and it, I think it does relate to trust, is because I felt like I didn't feel as secure in a lot of areas of my life and my relationships, but also my work and the things that I was doing, that everything just seemed a little bit heavier. Like I was needed to have more battles. I needed to have more clarification. I needed to like feel like more engaged. And now that I'm feeling more secure and I feel like I have an understanding of this is my work, this is my relationship, this is where, like even yesterday, like where my anchor is. Like I'm traveling without a suitcase and without a backpack of emotional baggage, that I'm able to enter spaces a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more light. Like I don't have to have every battle. I don't need to make sure that you understand exactly what I'm saying all the time. Like I know what my purpose is. Like I know the direction that I'm going, And I could travel with lightness in terms of the way that I see the world. And before, I just felt like everything was just like so heavy, and everything just felt like work or labor or a fight, because I didn't have that before. And it's taken years. Like, I am not going to say like, I did this course and now I like feel that way, but I think it's just taken time of, you know, investing in myself and surrounding myself with people who believe in me and see things in me sometimes that I don't see in myself, and like a continuation and evolution. But that's one of the things that I've noticed for myself when thinking about that and like traveling with lightness and trusting self. Thanks for bringing that up, Alex.
I love that concept of traveling lightly. And actually, as you were talking about it, it brought me back to the initial part of our conversation where, you know, you were saying that you, I think you said that you felt energized through our conversations and when we interact. And I think something that I had to learn through my life and my journey had a lot of traumas in it. And so I felt there was such heaviness, I think, and to my world and my existence. And I think that I've found light in my life and a journey forward, a path forward, I've actually found that lightness. I've been able to like unburden myself with some of that heaviness. And I think that I mentioned the energy part because I do think it comes across as we are like, as we're working, as we're interacting with people in relationships, especially if, you know, again, a lot of the listeners are in leadership positions, no matter what stage of their career. And I think that when you're leading with a sense of lightness, also that's something that is a bit infectious. And I think it really helps connection with, you know, those around you and those in your care.
Yeah, I think that really like points out that as leaders, we're just holders of the space. Like, we're holders for our team. And yes, we have these goals and these initiatives and these metrics that we need to hit. And it's important to communicate that. But then beyond that, we just need to create that space. And each space is so different. And each leader is so different. It's just like, how are we going to stand guard of this space to make sure that everyone feels celebrated for their contribution, that feels valued for who they are. Mm-hmm. And overall, just we're able to experience that lightness together as we're traveling to whatever it may be that we're traveling to.
And that makes me think also of like, I've had these leaders like where they assume best intent. Like, I'm not going to assume you dropped the ball. I'm not going to assume that you didn't do this. I'm not going to assume that you're responsible. But like, when I think of like traveling light, that's what I think of, like assuming best intent when holding space for people that you work with or coworkers or colleagues, versus like, oh my God, that person, if they just do that one more time, like, I know that they're doing like X, Y, Z, whatever story we're telling in our head for whatever reason. Yeah. And that really resonates, because I think that is like a simple thing that makes a big difference. Is like, are you assuming best intent of the people that you're working with? I mean, with love and compassion and also accountability. But I think that's like one thing that makes a huge difference.
I'd like to add another part to that too, though. Sometimes like when you do assume best intent for one person, it may come at the harm of another person. And so it's also like gauging, like, is this assuming best intent, but is it in a way that it's going to perpetuate harm? Or is it assuming best intent for everyone there? Like, that is a part of this. And I think that's also such a difficult spot as a leader, is to assume the best in everyone, but then also acknowledge when harm or acknowledge when challenge and what kind of support is needed within that scenario.
Yeah. It's actually, as you're talking, it's also making me think back to how we were talking about duality, dichotomy, those type of things in business and as leaders. There's usually not one way or the highway type thing. There's various things to consider, what you bring to the table, what different people involved bring to the table. To your point, is it, Alex, is it for, you know, is that best intent for one person or all of the people? And so I think a lot of times when we're in work, in the practice of work, we almost try to tell ourselves that it's just one way. And so I think that the more we're self-aware and aware of the how others are acting and operating, it's like allows us to kind of go back and forth. And that's not a bad thing. I say back and forth, meaning like between the different elements, between the dualities of things. You know, and I just think there's like never, I don't know if it's actually true, but I feel like could there have been a harder time to go forth, to lead, to, you know, and so I think this is again part of why I think this kind of conversation is so necessary. The landscape has so changed so much. So I think we need to have tools and resources and language that is also changed. That's also part of moving things forward. And as you were saying earlier about like evolving.
I love this because it's so true. A lot of the value in the work that we do, we find not necessarily in finding the right answer, but in the process. And it's like, are we actually processing? Like, are we even having the conversations to explore it? Because a lot of times we find ourselves and in leaders, we have to make a lot of decisions quickly all the time. And we get this kind of like decision fatigue where it's like, okay, I'm just going to decide and go and move forward. It's like, are we even making the consideration behind that? And I think there's so like a lot of the times that's where the value is. That's where like the nuggets that we're looking for, that those signs that we're looking for, like the feelings that we're looking for that we need to move forward are, but we just skip over them because like, okay, fine. I just got to make a decision. I'm going to make one. I'm going to move forward and got to make another one in an hour. But it's as simple as that. It's like taking a pause, asking the question, exploring, inviting someone else in your exploration, in your self-reflection, and really allowing it to emerge rather than just being like, I'm going to pick this. I'm going to move forward with this. Yeah.
It brings to mind like this quote that Nikolai and I lean on by Raj Kumari. And she says, belonging is the ability to create safety for yourself. And inclusion is the ability to create safety for others. And so for us, what it really like, what we really sink into is that we have to do our own work. Like we have to start with ourselves and like look within ourselves. And that's where the impact starts really. Is like having that conversation, asking those questions, being willing to like answer that for ourselves, and then being able to invite others in, being like, hey, I learned something about myself, and that's going to change the way that I show up. Mm-hmm. And it's going to change maybe some of the ways that I do things or the ways that I set boundaries. But because we do life and because we do work together, I wanted to let you know. And I think that open exchange like breathes so much space and I think gives so much freedom to be like, what we talked about earlier, we don't have to be just that one thing. Because I think we love, you know, certain forms of commitment and we don't like change. And so sometimes I think we even ask others like, oh, just tell me that one thing. And then I'm just going to hold you accountable for that one thing. And I think that could be like so stifling. So, I mean, we just like, we love that like solitude and doing that work. But even more than that is like the beauty that we find in that solitude, being able to share that with other people. And we love when we see that happen too. When we encourage other people to like journal with us and seeing that, it's just like that's what gets us so excited.
Yeah, absolutely. As you were talking, brought up thoughts that I've had when I created this platform, and you know, the tagline is evolving brands and people. And I had to figure it out myself. And then as I articulated to other people, the work and the people are connected. And I think that, and I'm pausing to point it out because I think some people can think this kind of conversation is so fluffy or so soft and so unnecessary. And I think that, you know, it is part of what excited me so much when I've gotten to know you both and looking into what you're doing, because I think there really is purpose in doing, you know, creating these moments to, you know, the self-reflection, all of the things that you were just talking about, Alex, because I think when we're able to do that for ourselves and create that space for people in our care and around us, then it literally, like, when we as people are able to evolve, get to next levels, start to have some of that self-awareness, I think the work starts to change. I think when we're able to know ourselves better, be more aware, that I think we have an easier time being, bringing our whole selves forward, being truly authentic. And then again, the work changes, the way we do reappoint, the way we show up, the way we interact with others, because we're not just robots at work. You know, we're humans who have all of this, you were talking earlier about like travel lightly, like all this baggage with us. And so, you know, it, I think these are part of the tools that help us, you know, just the navigating every day, so that, you know, we can just be more whole as we're going about it. And I think then we can be more effective.
Absolutely. Like, we can talk about the technical stuff. Absolutely. Like, I mean, we can give you the how-to, like the data, the metrics, like the reasoning, right, behind all of that. And we've done that before, but we also recognize, like, we can do that and we can receive that. There is always something that we felt was like missing, and that might just be for us, but like this, like fluffy space, it's so comfortable and it's like so nice. It's like we're sitting in the clouds having a conversation, but I forgot the other part because we both unmuted at the same time. So Nikolai, go ahead and maybe I'll remember.
Well, I was going to say, like, it also makes good business sense. Like the like to speak, like point to the data, like not get lost in it, but people are literally staying at companies where there's well-being prioritized. It's not compensation and pay and benefits. It's well-being and that they're connected to their work and the people that they work with. And that is at the core of what we need as human beings. Like, we are social human beings. And so you're asking us to come to work and like cut half of ourselves off and not bring that to the table, when that's the part that makes me more innovative and makes me more energized and makes me want to come alive and bring out the best part of me. But you're asking me not to bring that, or that there's no space here. And I think the companies that are doing really well encourage that, and they're investing in that. They're making more space and room for that. And it's fun to see. It's a clear, distinct difference. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Even I think that when a company is actually prioritizing it is when they're making a commitment to it, they're providing an investment in it, they're creating a path forward for it. And I think that that's a differentiator for me when I'm thinking about, is a company actually prioritizing well-being or not? And, you know, I think that a way to do that is to actually provide offerings, you know, and a lot of times that looks like, are you spending money to support well-being or not? And so I think, you know, again, having a variety of offerings out there, you know, that are different, that aren't necessarily traditional, I think become really important in this day and age when just, again, like the landscape has just changed so much and people need different things.
Yeah, because we all have a different definition of well-being. In different ways that we feel well. And so a lot of times when we do work with these companies, we see that they have all of these different things that are more about like environmental well-being. Like they have the ping pong tables, like the food, the catering and all that kind of stuff. And then they also have some of the physical well-being, like offering yoga classes, like the meditation, but there's so many other dimensions of well-being that I think that we forget about or underestimate, like the social well-being, the emotional well-being, the intellectual and creative well-being. Like, are we helping and presenting offerings for each of these dimensions of well-being? Because then a lot of times, like just being well enough in one sliver doesn't mean that you're going to be well altogether. And so for us, it's all about, can we encourage and help to build those spaces and experiences to tap into those other dimensions of well-being so that people can then advocate for themselves and then companies can start building it for their employees.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, which is leading me to want you to tell the audience and to tell me more about who are you for and who are you not for? Companies, people, give me an understanding so that the listeners can try to understand, oh, this is resonating with me. Is this something for my company? So give us a little bit about that.
Are you looking to me? Here's what I'll say. And I was going to say this point earlier, but I think this fits in here perfectly, actually. It's for the organization or individuals that are already wanting to do something or doing something. Like, well-being only works in an organization if your leaders are practicing it. Because what we see a lot of the times is that it's like, hey, we have a well-being program, you go do this thing. But us as leaders, we're busy, we got to do things. We got shit to do, metrics to hit. Like, I don't have time to engage with that. But the research actually shows that the higher up you go, the more you take care of yourself because you understand the impact, but that's done in private. Mm. It's not shared, or you're not engaging or opting into the things that the companies are doing that's offering for everybody else. And so I would say, like, the way that I would answer that is, like, we are for anybody that is willing to take the risk, anyone that is, like, willing to commit or already doing something. Maybe you're, like Alex said, like, maybe you're engaging in one aspect of well-being, but you're interested in, like, maybe the spiritual well-being or, like, the emotional well-being, and trying to find another avenue. But I also would say, like, we're for someone, like, that is a little bit of a rebel, like you want to, like, shake things up a little bit. Like, we're your people. Like, we love thinking outside of the box and we love creating custom solutions as well, where maybe that's not appropriate for your organization. Maybe, like, coming in and doing a workshop, talking about this isn't appropriate. Maybe there's another activity or another way that we can present something. Mm-hmm. Like, Alex and myself both have that rebel spirit and that creation spirit. And at least for me, like, that's when I come alive and get, like, energized. But I'll hand it over to Alex. That's my perspective.
I mean, I feel like you said it all. Like, I think, like, another thing too, and this really echoes, like, Nikolai started saying it so much in our early days, and now it's just so much of a part of our company, is, like, we don't do life or work alone. And so much of what it is that we even want to create for ourselves is just, like, the start of what we want to create for community. And so we consider organization, companies, any, like, group of people to be, like, a community. And so for us, it's especially loving to work with leaders who want to build that strong sense of community within mm-hmm. their company or organization, but they may be struggling to identify how to do it, where to do it, how to get other people involved. Because that is the place that, like, Nikolai and I love to kind of, like, talk about and then start creating for. And so if there is that desire for that community and the desire to build something to help bring that community together, mm-hmm. I also think that let's work together. Let's figure it out.
That is so well said. Thank you so much. I just really wanted to make sure that the audience is thinking about, again, does this suit me? Who could I recommend it to? Because I think I just really believe in these type of tools and being able to, you know, have access to them. And I just want people to understand, like, you know, how to sort of, like, grasp that. So thank you for sharing that. And before I let you go, I would love to ask each of you if you had one or two things that you want people to take away from this episode, if they're going to tell somebody else about it, or they're going to think back to it. I'm totally putting you on the spot, but you know, I'd love to leave people with this kind of just a little nugget. If there's one or two things that you would want people to take away from this episode, could you share that?
I have one.
Okay.
Alex says this, it's one of our workshops. Is your experience, is your expertise. And so my takeaway or challenge for someone listening would be, what is something that you can, like, journal on and figure out what is your expertise? And just write it all out, because in there, I think you'll find sometimes, like, you know, we're like, what is my anchor? Like, what am I good at? Or, like, help me make sense of, like, my story and my journey. And I think taking a moment to just, like, journal and write down, yes, career experience, but also, like, things that you've gone through, like, write that all out, take a couple of minutes to journal. And I think you'll find some of your superpowers and some of the answers for the next steps. Like, you don't need to go elsewhere. It's like within.
I love that. All right, Alex.
And I'll offer, because I feel like this threads with so much what we talked about, the Maya Angelou quote that says, people will forget what you did and what you said, but they'll never forget the way that you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And so as a business leader, as a colleague, as a friend, of like, as much as, you know, you're putting together something or creating something or, you know, presenting something, is to like, yeah, it's important to communicate the details and the numbers, but don't forget about, you know, that other component of like how it's going to make people feel. And can you infuse those values? Can you infuse those potential losses? The things that people care about or maybe worried about, can you infuse that as well as you're interacting with people? So yeah.
Nice. I love it. Well, I cannot thank you both enough for coming and sharing this time and creating this space for us, for me. I'm so grateful, as I said in the beginning twice, I'll say it again, grateful to know you, walk the path with you. And I look forward to continuing and just being your champion as well.